This year is sponsored by Ilei Nishmas Hinda Rivka Bat Rav Avram.
Okay, so we're up to Simin Lamed Beis, Seif Chaf. Tzarech Ledaktik B'chaseris V'yaseris. We have mentioned that there's a halacha about tefillin and mezuzos, that the tefillin and mezuzos have to be written in order, which means that, let's say someone's writing a mezuzah, so the first word of the mezuzah is Shema. So first he has to write the Shin, then the Mem, then the Ayin, and so on and so forth for the entire mezuzah. So let's say he would start the mezuzah, instead of writing the Shin of Shema, he would first write the Mem. And then he would go back and write the Shin, and then he would write the Ayin, and then he would continue everything in order. The mezuzah would be puzzle, because it's not written in order. So with that in mind, Tzarech Ledaktik B'chaseris V'yaseris, when writing a mezuzah, the sefer needs to ensure that everything is spelled correctly. There are no letters missing and there are no extra letters. Why? She'im chaser ayiter ois achas psulim. Because an extra letter or a missing letter will invalidate the tefillin or mezuzah. V'nimtzu ha'menichem oisam evarchem b'chal yoyim brocha levatala. Somebody who wears tefillin that has an extra letter or is missing a letter, such tefillin are not kosher, and one is making a bracha levatola every day. V'gam shorei b'chol yoyim b'loy mitzvah tefillin. And he is missing the mitzvah of tefillin. V'nimtza einash ha-sofer meruba. So, obviously, the sofer who created these tefillin and sold them to him is going to be severely punished. L'chein, tzorech li'ais ma'od yirei shamayim v'chored l'dvar Hashem. With this in mind, we have to recognize that a sofer has to be a tremendous Yirei Shamayim. So seferim need to have a tremendous amount of Yirei Shamayim. Because the sefer says, b'shem the Prima Godim, that a sefer has to have even more Yirei Shamayim than a sheichet. Because a sheichet is a one-time iser. A person, a sheichet, shechts an animal, and it's not kosher, and he sells it to somebody. So the person's over one iser one time. Mashenkin, a person sells someone not kosher tefillin, person is going his whole life without the mitzvah of tefillin, making brachas levatolos every day. So it's much worse. Chaf Aleph. Kol parasha, achar sheyichtevena, because the tefillin have to be spelled correctly and everything has to be written in order. So after writing the parasha, yikre'ena heitev v'kabona v'diktuk pa'mayim v'sholish. The sefer should read and reread the parasha two or three times. V'yachser v'yikre'ena koidem sheyitnena v'toich besa. And he should read the parasha again before inserting it into its bias. In other words, each parasha has its bias in the Shel Resh, right? And the Shel Yad has four parashas going into one bias in the Shel Yad. So the sefer should read the Magia, the sefer, the Batimachar. Today, it's all different people. In previous generations, it was one person who did everything. But whoever it is putting the parasha into the Batim should read the parasha again before putting it into the batim. This halacha is practiced even today by Erlacha people, that they read the parasha again before putting it into the bias to ensure that there are no mistakes. It's just like one final check to make sure everything is okay. Also to make sure that the correct parasha is going into the correct bias. Sometimes, unfortunately, one will open up a pair of tefillin to check them and they'll find the wrong parasha in the wrong bias. Person wasn't yoytzeh the mitzvah in such a situation. Kadesh like tischalef parsha v'parsha. So like we just said, should read the parsha before putting it into the batim to ensure that each parsha is going where it is meant to go. Chav beis toiv l'naseis hakolmas koidem sheyaschil lichtoiv haparsha shelo yehei olav dio yoyser midai v'yafsid. When writing stam, so one uses a quill. And a quill, sometimes if there's you dip the quill into the ink and then you write. So sometimes if there's a lot of ink that the quill takes with it from the inkwell, so that will cause a mess on the cloth. If there's a little bit less, it'll come out more evenly. So a person has to test the quill before he actually starts writing to ensure that there's not too much ink in the quill. And that will ruin what he's trying to write. V'chein yizar koidem sheyichtoy kol shem, likrois kol ma shekosav, kedei shelo yavoyu lidei gniza al yodei. What this means is that, again, let's say he's writing a mezuzah. So you start off Shema, Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, right? Okay, so he writes Shema, and he writes the Yud of Yisrael, okay? So after he writes the Yud of Yisrael, he realizes that, you know what, he made a mistake. Instead of writing Shema, Shin Mem Ayin, he wrote Shin Mem Aleph. Oh, so Mezuzah's puzzle. Okay, not such a big deal. What can he do? He can erase the Yud of Yisrael. He can erase the Aleph of Shema. And now he's back to the Shin and the Ayin. Very good. Now he could write an Ayin. I'm sorry, he's back to the Shin and the Mem. Now he can write an Ayin, write a Yud, and continue moving forward. So that's a way to save the mezuzah. But let's say he wrote Shema Yisrael Hashem. And after he wrote the Shem Hashem, he realized that he spelled Shema with an Aleph instead of an Ayin. Now he's stuck. Why? Because he can't erase the Shem Hashem. So erasing backwards normally would be a way that somebody could salvage his work and correct the mistake. But once he wrote a Shem Hashem, he can no longer correct his mistakes by erasing backwards, because one is not allowed to erase a Shem Hashem. So because that's the case, V'chein yizar koydem sheyichtev kol shem in the middle of Chaf Beis, right? V'chein yizar koydem sheyichtev kol shem likreis kol ma'asher kosav. So when he gets up to a Shem Hashem, instead of writing the Shem Hashem, first review everything that you've written up to that point to ensure that there's no mistakes. If there is a mistake, correct it. And then you write the Shem Hashem. Because if he writes the Shem Hashem and only discovers the mistake afterwards, then he's going to have to be goynes everything he had written up to that point. Halacha Chav Gimel. Let's say he wrote a mezuzah and all of a sudden he realizes that Yoyre Umalkosh, the word Yoyre is missing above. Okay? So he realizes that there's a letter, or the Hishtach Havisem is missing above. Right? Whatever the case may be, he suddenly realizes that the mezuzah is missing, or the tefillin in this case, is missing a letter. Right? Ein le takona, can't be corrected. Why? Let him just add in the missing vav. Can't do that. Shem Kain, if he would add in the missing vav, hayuk suvin shalei kesidron, then it would be written out of order. Upsulin, and it would be pasal mishum desiv v'hayu. It says v'hayu hadvarim ha'ela, right? So v'hayu hadvarim ha'ela behavyasan yehu means it has to be as is, which means that one cannot chazal darshan from there. Chazal understand from there that it has to be written in order. V'im yiter ois achas. But what if you have the reverse case? What if he added a letter, right? Ukshartam la'ois al yodecha. So by the word yodecha, he added in a pei between the dalid and the chaf, right? He wrote yod dalid pei chaf. So there's an extra letter in middle of the tefillin. So v'im yiter ois achas yesh le takana al yidei sheyigra oisa im hi b'sayf tei b'tchilosa. So if the extra letter is at the beginning of a word, let's say the Hishtach Havisem, he wrote two vavs at the beginning of the word. So then just erase the first vav and you're good to go, right? Or if you wrote an extra letter at the end of a word, the Hishtach Havisem, he wrote two endomems at the end of the Hishtach Havisem. So just erase the last endomem and you're good to go. Aval imhi be'emtza teva, but if he added a letter in middle of the word, loy, then there's no way to fix it. Why? If he erases a letter in middle of the word, so now the word's going to be split in half, right? And he's going to be stuck. So that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a psul. The Mishnah Berurah points out that this is not always the case. Let's say the case that we gave earlier. Ukshartim la'is al yodecha. So he wrote, instead of writing yud dalid endechav, he wrote yud dalid, like we said, pei and the chaf. So there's an extra pay. So in that case, the Mishnah Berurah says what he can do is he can erase the pay. Aye, now it's puzzle because the dalet and the chaf are split apart. He can extend the dalet all the way until the vav. And in that way, he could kasher it. So depending on which letters are surrounding the empty space, sometimes one would be able to salvage the mezuzah and not have to put it into Gniza. Because some letters can be stretched, some cannot be stretched. So it depends. Every case has to be evaluated on its own, but often it's possible in such a case to save the stam. Chav Dalet. Mutter lichtoiv al mokim hagrar. Let's say somebody made an erasure, al mokim ha-mechak. A grar and a mechak, one of them is when, if I'm not mistaken, grar is when, is when it's already dry. Okay, the ink has dried and he erases it. That's called hagrar, and a mechak is when the ink is still wet, right? So when the ink is still wet, also you can remove the ink with a tissue or a sponge or whatever it is, right? So let's say somebody made an erasure, whether the erasure was a wet erasure or a dry erasure, one is allowed to write in that spot. Afilu azkara, even a shem Hashem, there's no iser to write a word, even if it's a shem Hashem, in an area on the spot which had previously been erased. But don't write the new word while the parchment is still wet. Rather, you should wait until the parchment dries. So you can erase wet ink, just wait until the area dries, and then write what you want to write. Ki oz yigar bekal v'lo yishar shum roisham. Right? There won't be any stain left on the cloth, and it'll erase cleanly, and one will be able to write in a more neat fashion by doing it that way. Although this does need a little bit of iyun exactly how to read this properly. I'm not sure what that means. I guess it means that you're going to take off. Yeah, Pashas, it means as follows: you're going to take off the ink while it's still wet, right? But then, like we said before, you'll take a tissue and you make sure that the surface is dry, and then ki oz yigar bekal, because then you're going to be able to take off the ink easily and it won't leave a stain. Pashtus, that's what it means.
When it's dry, it's harder,
thicker piece comes off easier. Mm-hmm.
Lavdafka.
It also depends. Correct.
When it's drawn, then you can don't try to get it drawn, and then write.
That was the second thing that I said. Okay. Chafei. Kol oishe yiksuva shalei ketikuna. If you have a letter which is written in properly, v'ein surasa aleha. For example, kagoin, noga regal ha'alef, gag ha'alef. So this is like the example that we discussed yesterday, where the leg of the aleph, right, we said that the aleph has a bar in the middle, which is called the gag, and then there's a yud on the top of the aleph, and there's a yud on the bottom of the aleph. So again, this is the same case that we spoke about yesterday, where the, instead of having a yud, which is comprised of a head and a leg, it's just one blob. So if the aleph is created in such a case, like pnei ha'aleph bifnim begag shetachteha, right? So the first case is the bottom yud of the aleph, the second case is the top yud of the aleph, but the point is the same, that it's just a blob, it's not recognizable as a rosh and a yerech. Oy, shahaya regel ha-hei, oy regel ha-kuf noigim. Or, like we said yesterday, the hey and the kuf are meant to be detached from the head, and in fact, they were attached. Noigim, they were touching. Oy, shahaysa ois achas haluka l'shtei oisius. Or, you have a letter which is split in two. So this is an important thing to be aware. When a letter is split, sometimes a letter can be split into two letters, and sometimes a letter is split in a manner that it's not split into two letters. For instance, let's say you have an aleph, and the top yud is detached from the rest of the yud. So it's not split into two letters. The top yud is recognizable as a yud, but the rest of the aleph is just a nameless mass of ink, right? But it's not another letter. As opposed to a tzaddik, for instance, a tzaddik, when it's split, so you have a yud on the top, and you have a nun as the other half, so it's split into two letters. So you have a mem, which is split. So you can have a beis or a chaf on one side and a vav on the other side, split into two letters. So there's different ways that letters can be split. Letters can be split into two letters, or letters can be split not into two letters. So ois achas chalukah l'shteyos. If you have a letter which is split into two letters, kagain tzadi shekosav yud nun, ois shin shekosva ayin yud, a shin when it's split sometimes can take on the appearance of an ayin and a yud, oi ches shnei zainin, or if you have a ches which is split into two letters, which two letters into two zayins, v'achas shekosav lefonav chazar v'tiknam, and one has already written further, right? So he wrote, let's say, v'hishtach avisam. So the ches is split into two, but he already wrote, after the ches, the vav, yud, sof, and mem. Right? V'achar shekasav l'fanav, chazav v'tiknam, havi shalei kisidran u'psulim. So if he goes back and corrects the problem, it's going to be posel. Why? Because the mezuzah is written out of order. He had, let's say, the tzaddik was split, so he didn't have a tzaddik there. He had a yud and a nun, and now when he finished the mezuzah, he went and he fixed it. So that's puzzle, because that tzaddik was not there. There were two other random letters, a yud and a nun, but there was no tzaddik. So when he's going to fix it and create a tzaddik, the mezuzah, the tefillin, is essentially written out of order. But on the other hand, rather than attaching detached parts, if he did the opposite, he detached attached letters. Achar shekosav lefneim shaper dami. So again, this is the halacha that we saw previously. He wrote ahead. After he wrote ahead, he goes back and he separates letters which were touching. Shaper dami, that's going to be mutter. The kevan sheha ois tsirasa aleha, because since the two letters are distinguishable from each other, kishem afrida minichaberta loyhave kakosav. So when he separates them from each other, that's not considered like he's writing fresh writing now. And memela, it's going to be mutter, even shaloi kisidron. So you finish a mezuzah, and you go back, and in the word, ukshartem, you find the tof and the mem touching each other, of ukshartem. So you're allowed to separate those two letters, and it's not going to be a problem of shaloi kisidron. V'hu adin, shem loy hoya mixas yudin shala alfin v'ashin v'ainim v'ragle ha-tofin noigin begufa ois. V'tinek de loichacham loitipesh makiram she'afal pisha kasev lefneim yachal lachzer letaknam kevan de tzuras ha'ois ha'isa nikeres leka mishum kasvan shaloi kisidron. So what that means is that the same thing would apply with the yud on the aleph and the shin and the ayin and the regal of the tuf, that if they're not touching the letters, so and it's not split into two now. Okay, and the Tinaik recognizes it as a letter. So on the one hand, you have a letter which is unkosher, because there's a halacha that every letter needs to be goylam echad. We'll see in Simin Lamed Vav, there's a halacha that every letter needs to be goylam echad, needs to be one unit. It can't be broken. So on the one hand, it's not kosher because it's broken. On the other hand, it's recognizable as the letter that you need. So I have the letter I need, it's just not kosher. So I can repair it by connecting the two detached parts.
I mean, they're close enough to say it's supposed to be a tzaddik, it's supposed to...
A tzaddik is different. Because a tzaddik is split into two letters, that's much more chomer. But in a case like an aleph, where it's not split into two letters, so over there, if a tinek is makirit, then it's going to be okay. In case of a tzaddik, if you look in the Bir Halacha, he's very marich about the case of a tzaddik.
Before you were something, in other words, what it's meant to be, or only after you were something.
No, makir it before you misakin it, avada. If he's not makir it before you misakin it, then it's not kosher at all. V'yesh mi she'aymer duhu adinim chutre d'ches l'mala ein noigin zel azeh, ach ein nike lehedye predosan, af al pish atinik kerish ne zaynin, mutter lehadbikam. The chidush over here is that I would think that a ches would be like a tzadi, and it's split into two, and therefore you would not be able to fix it, because it's like two letters. The chidush over here is that the tinaik doesn't recognize a ches anyway. A tinaik always will call a ches two zayins, even if it's kosher, right? Because the tzura of a ches in ksav ashuris is that it's two zayins with a bit of a V, upside down V on top, what's called chatei teres. So tinaikas do not recognize a ches. So a ches is a more complicated discussion. Chavav, im oisi yishol... Correct, because shin could go either way. Shin can sometimes be viewed as two letters like a tzaddik, and shin can sometimes be viewed as an aleph, where it's not two letters. So it's going to depend on how the shin is broken. It can, a shin is a hybrid letter. Chavav. One would think that if I have a negiyah and a shem Hashem, I'm not allowed to erase the letters. I'm not allowed to erase the negiyah. Why? Because perhaps it would be mechikas Hashem. Right? We said yesterday, erasing a shem Hashem is an isadai raisa. Someone gets malchus if they erase a shem Hashem. So if I have a negiyah in a shem Hashem, I have a yud kei vav kei, and the hey is touching the vav, so I would think I'm stuck. Nothing you could do. You can't be mafrid the negiyah, because if you're mafrid the negiyah, it's mechikas Hashem. Says the mechaber, no, you may be mafrid the negiyah, and it's not a problem of mechikas Hashem. Now, oh, I forgot we have another 10 minutes. Okay, that's great. So I'll take this opportunity to mention that the Mishneh Berurah says that the Mishneh Berurah holds that this is dependent on when the negiyah happened. A negiyah can happen while writing the Shem Hashem, or the negiyah can happen after the Shem Hashem is already written. The Mishneh Berurah is mechalek that if the negiyah happened while the Shem Hashem was being written, then it's going to be mutter to make this erasure, because one is essentially correcting the Shem, right? It's not kosher, and he's making it kosher. So it's mutter to make this mechika, and it's not called mechikas Hashem. However, the Mishneh, the Bir Halacha brings a Svek Sveka, and he has a tremendous chumrah that if the negiyah happened after the Shem Hashem was already written, so over there, since there are shitas that hold that it's kosher as is, so it's not clear that you're correcting anything, and it would be usher to make this mechika to correct it, which essentially gives you a very big problem because it's going to stay in its puzzle state forever. So the good news is that the Kesis HaSeifer, which was authored by the Rav Shlomo Gansfried, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is like the most chashuv sefer on Hilchas Tam, he argues, and he says that one would be permitted to make this erasure in all instances, whether the negiyah happened b'shas k'siva or la'achar k'siva, like the pashtas of the mechaber, like there's no nafkamina, and that's taka how we paskin today. If someone finds a negiyah in a Shem Hashem, we don't try and find out if it happened b'shas k'siva or la'achar k'siva. In all cases, we are matir to be mafrid the negiyah. Chav Zayin. Oisiyas v'teves shenimchaku k'tas. If you have letters or words that have become partially erased, what does that mean? That means that as Sifrei Torah get older, so either the letters can fade or letters can pop off the klaf, and there's only a little bit of the letter that's remaining. That's how the Mikdash Ma'at understands this halacha. Im rishuma nikar kol kach, because if there's enough of the letter remaining, shatinak d'leichacham v'leitipesh yachal l'kreisam, that it's still recognizable to a child, mutter lahavir kol misaleim, one can refresh the letter with fresh ink, lehetiv haksav, to refreshen it, ulechad shayit, v'leihavir shalei kesidron, and that will not be a problem of shalei kesidron. So practically speaking, like we said, what this means is somebody's checking a pair of tefillin which was written 100 years ago, right? And part of the letter has popped off. So as long as enough of the letter remains that it's recognizable to a child, so then one would be allowed to fix up the letter, and there would not be a problem of Shalei Kesidron, because Shalei Kesidron is only when you create a letter which is not here. But if the letter is still here, then it's going to be fixable. Now, if it faded to the extent that it's not black anymore at all, so then that's not going to be kosher. So that's a discussion in the Mishneh Berurah. Machlekes, the Prima Gadim, and the Chassam Sofer, how much it has to fade in order to be unacceptable. But at a certain point, if it's faded out so badly, then it's as though halachically the letters are not there, and one would have to put the tefillin into Geniza. Chavches, Yesh li zar shalei yikonis reish halamed ba'avir ha-hei, oy ha-ches, afilu b'loi negiyah. What this means is as follows. We discussed previously the idea of there's two concepts. There's a concept of Hakofas Gvil, and there's a concept of Shinei Tzura. The concept of Shinei Tzura means that every letter has to be recognizable as the letter that I need. Okay? If it's not recognizable as the letter that I need, then it's not going to be kosher. Second concept is Hakofas Gvil, that what we discussed, that every letter has to be surrounded by klaf. It cannot be touching another letter. It cannot have a hole adjacent to it, right? I have to have parchment surrounding the letter. So now, a ches, right, is like a ches, right? A ches has a top and two sides coming down. So let's say I have a lamed underneath it, and the lamed is going up into the ches. So the lamed is trespassing, right? It's invading the airspace of the ches, okay? So that can potentially be a problem of shinei tzura. It could change the tzura of the ches because it's not recognizable as a ches anymore because it has a lamed coming up into it. Or potentially one could say that the ches has to be surrounded by klaf, and if the lamed is invading its territory, that's considered that it's not mukav gvil. So this is a discussion in the Rishonim, why exactly this is a problem. But whatever the reason is, the fact is that one needs to be careful. Even if it's not touching anything, but just the very idea of invading another letter's airspace is potentially problematic. And there are other variations and iterations of how this can apply. It can be going up into an aleph. It could be coming down into a tes. There are many different examples of how this can be. And some issues are more serious than others. For instance, let's say a lamed is going up into a dalet. Okay, if I have a dalet on the top line and a lamed coming up into it, the lamed essentially now turned the dalet into a hey or a kuf. There's a tshuva in the Marit where a Balkari was reading in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah and he called a resh a kuf. Why? Because there was a lamed going up into the airspace of the resh and it looked like a kuf, right? So that would also... that would be a psul. So there's a lot of different variations of how letters going into other letters can potentially cause problems. What? That's not a problem. No, I mean, it's not advisable. It's not good. We don't like it. We don't recommend it. But it would not be a psul. Chavtes. If somebody does not know the parashias of Tfilin Balpeh, when writing the tefillin, he has to write from a text. He has to copy from a text. Obviously, the reason is to ensure that he's not going to make a mistake. If a person is illiterate and he doesn't know how to read, he's not allowed to be a sefer. Sefer has to be able to read, and only then is he permitted to write. But somebody may not write if he doesn't know how to read. Halacha lamed aleph. Im ene kaisav mitoich haksav, lo yichtav al peh shemakre oisai acher elim kein yachser hu v'yikra bepiv. Right, so we said a second ago that a person has to be writing from a text. So a person will say, you know what, I have a great idea. I don't have a text, but I have a friend. And my friend, he knows it by heart. I don't know it by heart. He knows it by heart. And I don't have a text, but I have him. So I'll have him tell me what I need to write, and then I'll write without the text. So the Mechaber says, you can only do that if you repeat what he says, right? So you're writing the word vayadaber. So your friend says vayadaber. So you say vayadaber, right? And he says, vav yud dalet beis resh. You say vav yud dalet beis resh. So you can do it, but you have to repeat what he says. Lamed beis. Obviously, again, all of these halachas, chavches, chavtes, lamed, lamed aleph, are all obviously geared toward the idea that we're trying not to have any spelling mistakes. Because like we said before, if you have a spelling mistake, then you do not have kosher tefillin. Lamed beis. Tzarech laniach cholok lamala kadei gaga shalamed. So aside for the area of the text, there have to be margins. Okay? So how much of a margin does one need on the top? So one needs enough of a margin in order to be able to write the lamed. As we all know, a lamed rises above the other letters. So on the top line, if you're not going to have a margin above the letters to fit in the lamed, then you're going to have a major problem. So you have to leave a margin. Kidei gaga shel lamed. Haga, sheyu gam hei mukafim gvil. We know that there's halacha that the letters have to be surrounded by parchment. So you have to have enough room above the letters to fit in the top of the lamed and a little bit of parchment so that it's mukaf gvil. If the lamed goes up to the top of the parchment, that's going to be a problem. The same way we discussed earlier, the idea that a chaf sofit, an endachaf, if it comes down to the bottom of the klaf, is also going to be a problem. Ulamata, and that's what he says right now. Kishir chaf v'nun pshuta. You have to have enough room on the bottom line.
Uvitchilatan v'sofan ein tzarich lehaniach chlal. And in the beginning of the first column and the end of the last column, one does not need to leave any extra space, blank parchment. Mil. Nagu asofrim lehaniach ktsat batchila v'sof. The Ramah says the minhag of the sofrim is to leave a little bit of extra blank space between the first, before the first and after the last column. V'tzarich lehaniach bein kol teva v'teva kemelo ot. And between every word, there should be a space of a yud, one letter. Uvechein bein hashitin kemeloshita, and every line when you write, between every line, that there should be an equal space of blank, a blank line, similar size, right? The blank line, empty line in between every line should be similar to the height of every written line. And this way you have plenty of room to put the heads of a lamed and the regal of like a kaf sofit or a kuf. Uvein kol ot kemelo chut hasara kemelo b'sefer Torah. And like in a sefer Torah, between every letter in a word, there should be a space of a hair space. Gam tzarich laniach me'at chalak bein pasuk lepasuk. And between every pasuk, there should be a little bit extra space than just a yud. So it looks like a difference of a pasuk. All these things are only lechatchila, not li'ikuva. And many poskim, and the minhag is actually not to make any extra space between psukim.